Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. There was a prayer request I did not mention. I'd like to mention now, Yvonne Osborne's sister has been in the hospital for a little while. She's dealing in ICU, and she's dealing with struggling with breathing. They think it could possibly be COPD. So you'd be praying for Donna. I believe her last name is Hobbs. And she may get out of ICU today, but she has been in ICU for a number of days. You pray for her and pray for her family. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter number 32. We're going to continue on our Consider series. Last week we talked about considering Christ and how we should put him first and foremost. Thank you to the choir doing such a good job in singing the song Consider Christ. I truly, honestly believe that's something we should be considering each and every day, is to think about what Christ would have us to say, what Christ would have us to do. To give you an idea, once again, what the word consider means. It means to think, to reckon, to count up, or to reason with thoroughness and completeness. To think out carefully, to reason thoroughly, with careful deliberation. To fix your mind on something with a view of careful examination. So pretty much it means to focus on it and consider something. So this morning we're going to talk about consider the end of your journey. Consider the end of your journey. As I was doing a word search or a word study on the word consider, this passage in Deuteronomy chapter number 32 came to my mind and came to my thought. And I said, well, that's, to me, it spoke to my heart. And I'm praying that it'll be a blessing and a help to you today. Talks about considering the end of your journey. I truly believe that we're all on a journey, that there is a time where we're born and our journey began, and there's a time where we will stand before Christ or kneel before Christ and our journey will be completed. All our journey is going to end someday at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Now, some people think, okay, journey maybe as a child, they're thinking when I become a teenager, my journey is over. But that just doesn't happen. When a teenager, of course, they want to become an adult. And when the adult, you know, maybe children, maybe being married. And then you think about retirement. That's the end of the goal. Or maybe Social Security. Or maybe death. You know, all those different things. Those are different stops on the journey. But it's not the real journey. The journey is going to stop someday at the feet of Jesus. And at that moment in time, our eternal destiny is forever sealed in a place called heaven or a place called hell. And today's message is going to kind of be not only for this morning, but also for tonight. We're going to continue on processing through. But I want you to think about how we should consider what the end of our journey is going to be. How we should live our lives thinking about the day we are going to stand or be on our face before Jesus. That someday, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this judgment, that someday we will stand in judgment before Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer or a Christian or a person who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, a person who has turned to God and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that is going to be at a place called the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We don't have time to get to all of it. But there's those who have never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will stand before him at the white throne judgment seat. And at that moment in time, they'll understand that forever their fate is sealed in a horrible place called hell. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses is giving his final words to the nation of Israel. Man, he's been through so much with them. He's seen so much ups and seen so many downs, seen so much glorious things. Imagine the guy getting to go through and being a part of the 10 plagues and then watching the Red Sea be opened and then dealing with these guys for 40 years in the wilderness and going out to Mount Sinai and getting the 10 commandments. What a great story he has to tell. He's seen many things happen over these years. And he's saying goodbye to them. And this is called the Song of Moses. And there's the verse that I want to focus in on today. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go up into heaven here soon, or getting ready to die. And he says this, and it kind of stuck with me. And I hope the Lord works in your heart about it today. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29 says, "Oh, that they were wise." He's talking to the nation of Israel. "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." What Moses is telling the group of people, he's saying, hey, look, I wish they were wise. I wish they were smart about this. I wish they understood the importance. And he says, I wish they were wise about this. And then he goes on and says that they understood this. This is an important point, that they understand that the actions that they do today is going to affect their future. He's talking about in verses earlier, we're going to look at it, and how they turned from God, and how they weren't serving God, and how they were not viewing God as the one who freed them and the one that had formed them. They had left God out of the equation. He says, I wish they would consider this. And what does he want them to consider? Their latter end. He's saying, I wish they would consider what this is going to mean in the future and the latter end. And I know what the scriptures are going to say, and we're going to look at it according, and we're going to look at what the scripture says a little bit about how he's talking to the nation of Israel, and he spent a little bit of time helping them understand that, hey, I wish they would consider what their fathers did and what their fathers said and the elders had said. And I wish they would have learned from those things. But I wish they were wise and that they would understand this, that what they have, what's happening in today in their world, the choices they're making right now, is going to affect their latter end. The things they're doing today is going to make a difference here. And someday when we stand before God as born-again believers, the things that we do in this world, how what we do for him and how we serve him today, we'll give an account for those things. Our sins have been under the blood. We won't give an account for our sins, but we'll give an account for what we did for him while we were saved. But then there's another person that I want you to consider. The person who does not know Christ, the person who will be at the white throne judgment, the person who will have to hear, and I never knew you, the person who's going to be cast into a horrible place called hell. Moses is saying to the nation of Israel, he says, I wish they would understand this. And that's my goal for you today is I wish you would understand this because I want you to consider your latter end. You say, well, Pastor, I'm on my way to home. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm good. No. You're not considering your latter end. It doesn't stop there. You're just because you die and they put you in a funeral, someday you're going to stand before God. And someday it's appointed a time of judgment. And someday you're either going to receive a reward or be ashamed of what you didn't do for him. Let's look here for a little while, and I don't know, this is our theme verse for the week. It's in the bulletin. There's always a verse of the week. Oh, that they were wise, meaning that it's wise to consider your latter end, that they would understand this, and it's sort of like an older man that's trying to get his words out and trying to get what he would like to express to these few million people that he has invested his life and given so much of his life in and has been through so much with them and seen them go through the wilderness and seen the Red Sea being opened and been through the 10 plagues and seen the manna, seen the water come from the rock and went up on Mount Sinai. He's saying, I wish I could make you understand. You ever met someone who was getting ready to pass away, or an older person? They had something that was on their heart and something that was on their mind, and they were saying, I wish I could just make you understand this. I wish I had the right words. He says, I wish, and he's saying that they would that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end. This morning I'm praying that God works in your heart about considering the end of your journey. Not just day by day things, considering Christ. But we're considering that someday we will stand before him. And we make our choices based off of that. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the hope we have as believers. But Lord, I also pray for those here today that may not know you as a personal Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll work in people's hearts and lives today, that they consider their latter end, that someday they are going to stand before you. And someday they're going to give an account. And Lord, I pray you help us today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, work in our hearts and minds. Lord, if there's someone today that's not sure if they die today, that they go to heaven, I pray that you see that someday, that they would see their need and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So yesterday we were out knocking on doors. We do that sometimes on Saturdays, and we go from door to door. Many times what we're doing is we're inviting people to church, and we tell them, hey, my name is Brian. I'm from Faith Baptist Church, and Mr. Jim was my partner yesterday, and I said, this is Jim, and sometimes we use last names. Sometimes Dylan gets the pens, and we just walk up to him and ask them, say, hey, we're from Faith Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you out to church. Can I leave some information with you? And most of the time people take it. And then while they're taking the information, I ask them if they have a church that they go to or they have a home church. And depending on their answer, I respond different ways. If they say, yes, I have a home church, sometimes they'll say, hey, well, a home church is really important, but a heavenly home is more important. And ask them if they died today, if they know they would go to heaven, if they seem at all interested. If they don't seem interested at all, I don't try to jam it down their throats. But if they're willing to have a conversation, then great. Well, yesterday we were there and we knocked on the door. Guy came to the door and you could tell a look on his face, he wasn't too excited to see two people he didn't know. And I understand that. That's in the day and time we live in, that it's a fearful society out there. You don't know who's on the other side of the door or who they are, but he opened the door. We talked to him for a minute or two. And the Lord impressed upon my question, asked this question, have you ever given much thought about what happens to you after you die? And I know I'd been working on the sermon a little bit. And he said, nope, never have. And never ever thought about where I'm going to spend eternity at. And he didn't use those words. He says, nope. Never worried about that. And obviously he was not really interested in hearing what we said. He was just being cordial, and usually when someone's being cordial, it only takes a moment or two before they stop being cordial. So you don't want to make someone mad because you're leaving their church name with them. The Berries came yesterday for the first time with us. I jokingly told the Berries, if you say something really dumb, tell them that you're from Victory. And once again, it was a joke. I made sure they knew that I was only joking because we pass out information with Faith Baptist Church on there. But that's just kinds of shows you things. You know, you don't want to do anything that's going to upset the person to where they're going to be angry. Now, truth is truth, and if they need to hear truth, and the Lord impresses upon the heart, we don't shy away from truth, but at the same time, we're on their property, so we try to be cordial, and we just try and invite them to church, talk to them about the Lord. But the man said to me, he says, never worried about what happens to me after I die. Never thought about it. And I says, that's the most important thing you can think about. This world here that we live in, sometimes 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, and you know, if you're blessed, 100 years, but eternity lasts forever. And I was just trying to encourage him. I says, you know, that little pink and gray check talks about how you can spend eternity in heaven. I don't remember the exact words it said, but those are kind of what I was trying to get. It says, you need to read that. Consider coming to church. You know, think about it. You know, the eternal destiny is really important. So when I come to this verse, when it says, remember when it says, oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end, what's going to happen to you someday? And for a person that does not know Christ, and we're going to look at that in a little while, it's a horrible, horrible eternity. Let's look a little bit, let's give you a little bit of background here on this passage, and then we'll jump into the sermon, consider the end of your journey. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. We're going to read through it quickly, but this is the song of Moses. Moses is getting ready to say goodbye to his people. This is something the people would have memorized. This is something that would have been kind of like their theme song. This is something they would have learned and grown from. It talks about how great and how mighty God is. This is, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And that's what he says. Look, ascribe greatness unto our God. And look what it says. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. I mean, what a wonderful verse that describes and gives praise to God. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. You see, it turns to talking about someone who does not serve him. Do ye thus requite the Lord? O foolish and unwise, is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? He's talking to the nation of Israel about bringing them out of the land of Egypt. He says, you weren't even a nation. You didn't even exist until God called Abraham out. He's the one that established you. He's the one that you have all this wonderful land. You have all these things. God is the one that gave you all these things. He says, I want you to remember this. In verse number 7, you see this word, remember the days of old. He's talking to the generation today. He says, look, remember the days of old. And then you see our word, consider. He said, consider, give thought, contemplation, reason thoroughly the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. He says, look, consider this. Think about this. He will show thee, he will tell thee. Remember this. And he says, this is important. Remember what happened before. Remember where you came from. So as we're considering the end of our journey, we need to consider the beginning of it. You know, we were, you know, created. Adam, God created Adam and Eve, and since then, God's the creator of this world. He's the one that's formed us. He's the one that's established us. We are here today by the mercies of God. And then you continue on. Drop down to verse number 16. For sake of time, we're not going to read the whole song. But look at what they do that causes anger, causes the Lord to be angry. Verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. They were sacrificing to false. If you're not sacrificing to God, then you're sacrificing to the devil. It's either one or the other. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. And in verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And the description is found in verse number 4, he is the rock. In verse number 17, this, who did they forget? They forgot the rock in verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. God is our rock. God is established. He is the one we can run to. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, and then said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. He says, if I step away and I leave them to themselves, then they're going to see where their end is. Once again, it's considering when you leave God out of the equation, your end's not going to be very well. Let's keep on going. Let's skip down to verse number 28. And we see the response here. Verse number 28, the word of God says, for they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. They do not understand the truth. They have left God out of the equation. They have forgotten the rock that formed them and established them. And so they're saying now that there is no understanding. And that's where you come to the text verse for the sermon. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise. And Moses is saying, I wish they would be wise concerning this, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? He said, that sounds kind of odd. See, these are the promises that God had given to them. If they were willing to serve him and willing to live according to his plan and his purpose, God says, I will make it to where you can chase 1,000. And when just a few can cause 10,000 to go in a flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. In verse number 31, for their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. And what the scripture is saying there, they have taken their trust and their confidence. They have established their safety in something else besides God. He says, their rock is not our rock. The one who had said that he could make them to where they could cause 1,000 to flee, only a few to make 10,000 flee, the ones who pretty much said that we will bless you and we will grant you this promised land, they said no. They made something else their God. They made something else their worship. And because of that, Moses says this. He says, oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. If you'd like to, turn with me to Acts chapter number 20. And Acts chapter number 20 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. If someone asked me what my theme verse for my life at this point in time in my life, I would say it's Acts chapter 20, verse 24. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, you have Paul that has been impressed with a lot of different things, and he is headed to Jerusalem, and I believe while he's on his way to Jerusalem, he knows he's going to be captured, and he knows that things are going to happen to him that are just not fair, but he doesn't let any of these things move him. In Acts chapter number 20, you go to verse, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 22. Acts chapter 20, we'll look in verse 22. The Bible says, and now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing any things that befall me there. He says, look, I going to Jerusalem, I do not know what's going to happen to me. It says in verse 23, save the Holy Ghost witness of every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says there's three things there. He mentions that. He says, number one, I don't know what's going to happen next. An uncertain future. He says, I do not know what's going to happen. I do know that the Holy Spirit says has shown that there has been bonds, talking about being in prison, and afflictions everywhere I've gone. There has been bonds, there's been afflictions. Now, there is an uncertain future about the future, it's uncertainty about the future, but what they're warning him, saying, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. They're looking for you. They're going to kill you. And Paul says in verse number 24, none of these things move me. See, Paul is on a journey. He understands this journey. He understands that someday he is going to stand before Jesus Christ or be on his face before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, look, yes, there might be an uncertain future. There may be bonds. There may be afflictions. But I'm not going to let any of those things move me. I'm not going to let any of those things stop me because I'm considering my latter end. Yes, I'm on a course, I'm on a journey, and I want that course and that journey to be accomplished so someday when I stand before him, I'll know I've done what he's called me to do. Let's keep on going. He says, none of these things move me. And consider what he continues on saying. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says that even if it costs me my life, that's not something that I count as something that's very dear. And why would someone say that? Well, he recognized it's not my life, it's the Lord's. I'm in God's hands, and I believe that I'm in God's hands, because I'm in God's hands, I can trust in him, and because I can trust in him, my life's not dear to myself. It's the Lord's. It belongs to him. Because it belongs to him, whatever he chooses to do, it's okay with me. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, so that I might finish my course. His desire is to finish his journey, but look at that next phrase, with joy. We miss that so much. Christians are supposed to be joyful people. We are supposed to be people who rejoice, supposed to be we're serving the Lord, that I might finish my course with joy. You know what? If there's joy that's missing in your life, there's something wrong. And it's a whole other sermon, but Paul is saying here, I don't count my life dear unto myself. He says, my goal in life is to finish my course. And I know as if I don't let things stop me, and if I don't say my life is more important than God's call for me, then I'm going to be able to finish this course. And then I'm going to be able to do it not grudgingly. I'm going to be able to do it with joy because I've done it without reservation. I've done it without letting things slow me down. I've done it without letting things stop me. I can finish my course, but I'm going to do it with joy. And then it continues on, not just the course with joy, he says, and the ministry. He understands that this journey, that once a person becomes a believer, they now have on a course that someday they're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. And as they're headed to the judgment seat of Christ, he says, I want to finish my course with joy and the ministry, that there is a ministry that's involved with that, that our course should involve a ministry, that we're serving the Lord. And it continues on, which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify in the gospel of the grace of God. That was his ministry. I want to testify the gospel of the grace of God, God's grace in my heart and my life. He says, I don't want to let an uncertain future. I don't want to let bonds. I don't want to let affliction. He says, I don't want to let your tears. If you read through the passages of scripture, there's people weeping for him. Later on, there's people trying to tell him, look, don't go to Jerusalem. There was even a prophet that came along later on and says, hey, look, you're going to be bound in Jerusalem. He says, no, I'm not going to let any of those things stop me because I'm on a journey. And my journey that I'm on is something that I want to complete. And the only way I can complete it with joy is if I don't count my life dear unto myself. I turn and say, God, it's yours. It belongs to you. So three simple points tonight, this morning. And the first point is we're all on a journey. We are all on a journey. And the Bible says in Psalms 90.9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. We're all on a journey. It starts with birth, it ends, and once again, we live for all eternity, but when we stand before Christ, you know, that's it. We're there. That's the journey we're on. That's where we're headed towards. He said, Pastor, what does that mean? That means that it would be wise, as Moses was telling the nation of Israel, that you would understand this, that you would consider your latter end. You know, the decisions we make here today will determine if we receive rewards or not before Christ, but also if we don't know Christ, it'll determine our eternal destiny too. He says, I wish you would just understand this. Consider your latter end. Consider what it's going to be like at the end. Consider what it's going to be like someday. If we live for here and we live for now and we live for the pleasure of today, you're not considering the latter end. That's what Moses is telling him. Hey, look, you're not going to be able to accomplish what you could. You're not going to be able to finish your course of joy. You've missed the whole point. The rock who had made you those promises is no longer your rock. Instead, he says, I wish you would understand this. Consider your latter end. Consider what it's going to be like someday. And then the second thing I want you to think about is we are all on a journey. And the second thing is a Christian's journey should be a journey of faith. A Christian's journey should be a journey of faith. We don't have a lot of time. And sometime this year, we might look at some of the great journeys of the Bible just because considering what they thought. But remember when God came to Abram and God told Abram, hey, look, I want you to get up out of your city. He says, I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm not going to tell you. You'll just know when you get there. I want you to just go and I want you to leave. And he does it. How does he do that? How does a person go to his wife and say, honey, we're moving? She's like, okay, where are we moving to? She, I don't know. God told me to move. When are we leaving? Now. Who are we taking? Oh, we're supposed to leave our families behind. Could you imagine that, ladies, if your husband came home and says, hey, we're moving somewhere. We just don't know where we're going. You know, it's faith. There's faith that's involved. And as Abraham gets up and leaves, and there's an Old Testament principle there. He's there, and it's amazing. If you go read in Hebrews chapter number 11, you know, he was in search of a city whose builder and maker was God. He never even received the promises, but he saw them afar off, and he embraced them. He believed in them. He had faith. So in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Genesis, it talks, I think it's chapter number 12, talks about the faith that took him to make that journey. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about his faith. So it shows that it was a journey of faith for him, that he started off with faith and he finished with faith. And even though he had not received the promises yet, he saw them afar off. It was faith. It was a faith-filled journey. And that's what our journey is supposed to be. It's supposed to be one of faith. It's not supposed to be one of sight. If we are on our way to heaven and we believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, our steps are supposed to be steps of faith, believing and trusting in Him, so that someday when we meet the one who died for us, someday when we meet our Lord and Savior, someday when we meet Jesus, man, we're not going to be ashamed. Instead, we'll receive rewards. Praise the Lord for that. It's a journey of faith. Are you living by faith today? That's what Paul is saying here. He says, I'm not going to let any of those things move me because I'm continuing on in faith. I want to finish my course with joy. I know I can finish my course with joy. And the ministry, I want to continue on living by faith. And this morning, I'm wondering how many of us today are people that say, hey, Pastor, I'm living by faith today. I'm not talking about if you've trusted in Jesus Christ and your personal Savior. We're going to talk about that in a second. I'm talking about if you know you're on your way to heaven, are you living by faith day by day by day? Paul here is on his way to Jerusalem. He has already been involved in his ministry for a little while. But I think it's interesting here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he had already made this decision. None of these things move me. He had already faced stonings. He had already faced shipwrecks. He already faced hunger. He already faced many things. And he did not let any of those things move me. So in 2 Timothy, he writes, in 2 Timothy verses 4, 7, 8, he writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. Let me get to 2 Timothy 4, 8. It was supposed to be in my notes, but I want to make sure I don't misquote it. 2 Timothy 4, 8, the Bible says, henceforth there is laid, and verse number 7, excuse me, is what we missed. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, you think about it. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, earlier in his life, he says, I'm not going to let any of these things move me. Now he is sitting in a prison cell, knowing that he is getting ready to offer up his life for the cause of Christ. He's getting ready to be martyred. And what does he say? I've kept the faith. I finished my course. He could not say this today unless he made that decision back there that none of these things move me. He could not be someone sitting here writing, you know, I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. He couldn't write those things unless he had decided, this is a life of faith. I'm considering the latter end. I know at the end of that journey, once again, death is just a stop. just like Jerusalem was a stop for him, and just like, you know, on the road to Damascus was a stop for him. You know, we think about all these different milestones in life. They're just part of the journey. The journey ends at the feet of Jesus someday. And he's sitting there saying, look, I finished this course. This course is done. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. And the only way he could write those things in a prison cell that day underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is back here. He says, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm not going to let the beating stop me. I'm not going to let the bonds and the afflictions. I'm not going to let the hard-heartedness. I'm not going to let when people leave me like John Mark left me, when people leave me like Demas left me, I'm not going to let any of these things stop me. So later on, at the end of his life, what does he write? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I wish you'd be wise concerning this. I wish you would understand this and consider your latter end. What's it going to be like at the end? What's it going to be like when you know you're getting ready to head off into eternity? The third thing I want you to think about, we should all consider how our journey will end. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, and it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I know I've alluded to it already. There's two different spots that we end up. And there's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. And I think we all need to consider how our journey will end personally. As I said tonight, they're going to spend some time looking at the judgment seat of Christ and what it means to be judged as believers. But I'd like to spend a few minutes considering what it's going to be like for the other group. Take your Bible, if you like, to Revelation chapter number 20. In Revelation chapter number 20, we are introduced to this judgment that is called the Great White Throne Judgment. At the Great White Throne Judgment is where unbelievers will be judged. He said they're going to be judged based off of what they did or didn't do. That's not what the Bible says. They're not going to be judged according to all the sin. They're going to be judged according to their sin. They're going to be judged because of their sin. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So someday, no matter who you are or where you're at, you're going to be bowing down to Jesus. And whether it's at the judgment seat of Christ or the white throne judgment, it says every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. This is where our journey will end someday, looking at Jesus, or someday in a humble form with our face to the ground. This is where the journey ends. But where does it end for you? Is it the judgment seat of Christ with all the believers? Or does it end at the white throne judgment? So what's the white throne judgment? Look what it says in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, look what it says in verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. So they will be judged according to their works. Look at it, it continues. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the last phrase, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. So they will be judged whether or not their name is found written in the book of life. Well, you say, well, whose name's found in the book of life? According to the scriptures, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. According to what the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, or should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is everlasting life that's available. There's a name that can be written down in the Lamb's book of life. It's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By understanding that you're a sinner and that your sin has separated you from God, and you understand that your sin has made it that you have to spend eternity in a horrible place called hell when you're on your face before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, and you're seeing I did, you know, there's so many things in the scriptures. There are people that says, hey, I served you. I did this. I did that. And he says to them, I never knew you. Their names weren't found written down. This morning, is your name written down? Is this morning, has there been a time in your life when you saw who you were, a sinner and deserving of hell, and then at the same time saw that Jesus died for your sins? He paid your sin debt for you. He paid your sin penalty. And you turned to God and you put your faith. You weren't trusting in yourself. You weren't trusting in your works. They said they're judged according to their works. Yes, they're going to find out all the things that they had done and show why they cannot enter heaven on their own merit and why they can't get there on their own way. Some people think, okay, they're going to go to heaven. They had these giant scales. They're going to take all the good things I did and all the bad things I did. And if the good outweighs the bad, then I get to go to heaven. It says if your name's written down or not. This morning, has your name ever been written down? Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because Moses is telling the nation of Israel, he says, I wish they were wise. I wish they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. And for us, the latter end is either heaven or hell. And Moses is talking to the nation of Israel, trying to get them to do what's right. And I wish that you were wise, and I wish that you would understand this, and I wish that you would consider your latter end. There is a horrible place called hell, and there are people that are going to it. We should consider that. This morning, if you died today, where would you go? And tonight, we're going to look at, you know, what it means to stand before him as a believer with the works that we've done for him. And that's embracing enough. That's challenging enough. But for those that do not know Christ, you don't even need to come tonight. Because the answer is right now for you. That's your latter end. And the Bible speaks of how horrible hell is. It's a place of everlasting darkness, eternal darkness, gnashing of teeth, burning forever, the lake of fire. You go a little bit up and look what it says in verse number 10. It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And look what it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a very solemn thought. And lots of times that guy I was talking to yesterday, and I'm not picking on that guy at all. I just wish he was wise. I wish he would understand this. To consider his latter end. That's all I was doing yesterday. I want you to consider what's going to happen to you in eternity. That's what I want you to do today, is consider that. Say, Pastor, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm good. Well, and then consider what it's going to be like someday at the judgment seat of Christ. Consider that people around you, maybe even seated with you today, don't know Christ and that they're on their way to hell, that we should tell people. There's plenty of things we can make applicable to us today. We need to make sure that we're wise and that we understand this, that we consider our latter end, that we should consider the things in the future, what it's going to be like. Not live for today. Don't let things move me so we can finish the course of joy, so we can do the ministry that God's called us to do, so we can be like Paul. It's not just a journey that we're making or through. So we're not just pilgrims and strangers. It's a journey of faith that I can finish my course with joy someday. That's what we're looking for. And I pray that convicts your heart, because I was thinking, I was reading that verse and over, look, I want to be wise. I want to understand this. I need to consider my latter end. I need to understand that there is more to this life than just what's here and now. I need to keep my eyes on the author and finisher of my faith. I need to consider him. Like we learned about last week, I need to consider Christ. This morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Be wise considering this. I wish you would understand. Just like Moses is saying to a group of people he loved and poured his heart into for all those years, I wish you would understand this, that they would understand this and consider their latter end. Let's have everybody bow their head and close their eyes for just a few moments. Go ahead and stay seated for a second. I'd like to ask you a question, because hopefully the message was clear and came across. There is two places people go when they die. It's a place called heaven and a place called hell. And this morning, I'd like to give you a chance to say, hey, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven.